John chapter 4 in your Bibles, please. John chapter 4, we changed some things up today in our series, and normally on a Sunday night, we're, of course, without interruptions, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians, and then on a Sunday morning, we're in the series, We Beheld His Glory, and this morning, we preached a message within the series, either one of those series that we're in, and tonight, we're going to preach the Sunday morning message on the Sunday evening, and so this is part of that series, We Beheld His Glory. And in John chapter 4 is where we're going to be. Last time we were here, we talked about the Samaritan woman and talked about the divine appointments that God has in mind for each individual. And it's awesome how the Lord knew exactly where the woman was and knew what her need was. I knew everything about her, just like God knows exactly where you are, knows what your need is, knows everything about you, doesn't he? And amen. And he knew where you were when you needed saved, and he sent the word of God to you some way, somehow. I don't know who it was that talked to you about the Lord or how you heard about the Lord, but the circumstances God was aware of and worked those things out. Of course, you had to respond freely. You had to respond willingly, and you had to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And God doesn't force anybody to be saved, but you have to make that choice on your own. And when you did, your life was changed, and just like this Samaritan woman, life was changed as well. We're in John chapter 4. If you'd stand with me, we're going to read verse 28, and then we're going to skip to verse 39. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Look at verse 39. And many of the Samaritans that of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Come and see is the title of the message tonight. So let's get into it. Our God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this familiar passage. I have preached out of this before. We've heard many messages out of this passage. Some things we might hear again that we've heard before. Help that not to take away from the effectiveness of it, and help us to be receptive to what you have for us, regardless of whether or not it's something we know or are aware of. May the word of God be used in our lives, and may we be hearers of the word, not doers only, as we look at what it reveals to us. Lord, sometimes there's things that we already know and we need to be reminded of. Sometimes there are things that we don't know, Lord, that we need to be taught. And so, Lord, I pray that whatever the need is here tonight, that you'd meet it. You'd help me. I pray these things in your own precious name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. John's gospel, there could be a number of different things that you could say is the theme of John's gospel. One of those would be this: believe. Believe. And we find that word used over and over and over again in the gospel of John. And in verse 42, the Bible says, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Our theme for 2024 has been honor God. And the reason that we emphasize that theme, the reason that we emphasize to honor God, is because that is essential to living the Christian life. If you're going to live the Christian life, your Christian life ought to be focused and ought to be pointed to honoring God, right? If you're not honoring God, then you're not living the Christian life. If your life doesn't honor God, then you're not living a Christian or a Christ-like life. Jesus said in actually this text, and we're not preaching on it today, but he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. My meat, my purpose is to honor God. And if we're going to be Christ-like, if we're going to live the Christian life, that word means to be Christ-like, then it ought to be our determination to honor God with our lives. Are you with me? And that ought to be our purpose. There is nothing quite like living for and following the Lord. Think about the happiest moments of your life. Even in those happy moments, there's tragedy. Even in those happy moments, there's hardship. But those happiest moments of your life as a Christian are the times, are the moments when you were dead set on trying to please God with your life. It was your goal, your determination. With God's help, with God's power, you can't do it without Him. But you were on fire about the things of God. And so no matter what went on in your life, those were the best moments of your life when you just served God and you just wanted to honor God and you were excited about the things of God. Those are the best moments of life, aren't they? When you look back and maybe you're saying that was me, that's not me now. And so you look at your life now and you say, I am not as happy as I was. And maybe you are on fire for the Lord now and you're just loving it. And you're not perfect. You sin, you make mistakes, but man, you have a heart after God and you want to serve Him. You want to honor God. There's nothing quite like living for God. And there's nothing quite like following God. Regarding following God, we have reason to follow Him. And I can follow God because I know my God is trustworthy, right? I know He's not going to lead me in a direction that I should not go. And sometimes even when following God doesn't seem to make sense, humanly speaking, and doesn't have reason behind it necessarily that we would look at from a human perspective and say that this doesn't make sense, even though that might be the case. If I know it's in God's Word, I can trust God's Word, I can follow God, I can honor God, even in situations that may not seem to make sense, I can count on it, I can take it to the bank, that this is the right thing to do. There are certain things in my life where I knew this was God's will for my life. I had no doubt about it, and that's happened in your life as well. You just have a peace that you can't explain, and maybe in a decision or in something that you're doing that you know without question, this is God's will. This is no question about it. This is what God wants. Just to name a few, there's many others, just to name a few. I knew without a doubt that it was God's will for me to go to Heartland Baptist Bible College. You say what you want about Bible College, it's not God's will for everybody. But I knew you could not convince me. You can say whatever you want to say. I had no doubt God wanted me to go to Heartland Baptist Bible College. And there are many things that resulted from that. Had I not gone to Bible College, I never would have surrendered to the ministry. That's where I surrendered to preach. Had I not gone to Bible College, I never would have met Sandy Ellis. And I had no doubt she was God's will for my life. Okay? And then I had no doubt that God wanted me to marry her. And there's so many things. And God's will for you might have been different. God led you to take a certain job. God led you to move to a certain place. God led you and maybe your spouse to meet up somehow. And God worked those circumstances out for you. And you had no doubt, hopefully, that it was God's will for you to marry your spouse. Let me help you out, though. Once you got married, now it's God's will. All right? Amen? It's God's will for you to stay married. But there are certain things that I knew were God's will for me. And I have no question about them. There were certain things that I wasn't sure. And I did anyways. Or there were certain things that I wasn't sure. And unfortunately, looking back, I believe maybe it would have been God's will and I failed on it. I didn't follow through. But when you know that you're following God's will, it's a wonderful thing. And I know this, that when you follow God and His leading in your life, the Holy Spirit's working in your life, He can be trusted. Amen? He can be trusted. He's trustworthy. He's worth honoring. God is worth honoring. Some people can't be trusted. Some things said aren't true. But anything God has said is going to be true. It's going to be trustworthy. He can't be anything but true to his word. God is worth honoring. And following Christ means this: I'm taking God at his word, I'm trusting him, I'm obeying him. The title of the message tonight is Come and See. And I can't help but use this illustration. I've used it before. Sometimes you might say to somebody when you're trying to explain something to them, man, you just got to come and see. You got to come and check it out for yourself. You might try to explain how great it is or how wonderful it is or even just, how the description of it. I'm even struggling right now to articulate what I'm trying to explain to you. But then sometimes you just got to stop and say, you know what? I give up. You just got to come and see. You got to show me. My wife, likes for me to build certain things. She has a honey-do list. I mean, men, your wives have a honey-do list. Come on, let's be honest. All right, thank you. And you want your husband to do some things for you or help you out with something like that. And my wife can explain something to me, and I usually just interrupt her right away. I'm like, you know what? Just show me a picture, all right? Just show me. I got to see a picture. I can usually build most things if I have a picture, a clear picture, if I have different angles of it, or whatever. And it might not come out exactly the same, but just show me a picture. I need to see it in order to accomplish those things. We just went on a trip to South Dakota, and we had a great time. I explained that this morning, grateful for it. And I asked this morning, how many of you been to the Badlands? And so let's just do that one more time. How many of you been to the Badlands? All right, raise your hand. Okay. And then I asked this question as well. How many of you played around in the Badlands? I mean, you didn't just stay on the trail, but I mean, you went up and down the hills. Joe's hand is up. I mean, yeah, he was. I got some pictures of him. He wanted to go everywhere I went. I'm like, no, bud, you can't come up here. But there were some places that he went that surprised us. And all my kids surprised me a little bit there with those things. But again, let's see. How many of you have not been to the Badlands? Okay. How many of you have seen pictures of the Badlands, but you've not been there? Okay. How many have no idea what the Badlands look like? Yeah, I'm going to attempt to explain it to you. I don't even know how to do this. Okay. I thought about writing it out, typing it out, how to explain this to you, but then I thought, no, that's cheating. So just off the cuff, how to explain to you the Badlands. It's a bunch of dirt hills that look like peaks in the South Dakota. But somehow it's absolutely beautiful and amazing, and it's got crevices and canyons and caves and just you can get lost in there, and it's hot and there's rattlesnakes and it's all dirt. Am I right? I'm right. Now there's some pretty neat things, just fossils in there. There's lines that you can see from 87 million years. Oh wait, no, that's not right. There's lines that you can see from the flood that happened in Genesis chapter 6 and 7 and 8, where the fountains of the deep broke loose. And I don't know what it looked like before. I don't think anybody knows exactly. My theory is this. This is just my theory, that it was one big giant mountain. And the flood hit and just eroded all that away really quickly and left behind these awesome canyons. I can't say for sure that's what it was before, but all I know is what it is now. And I believe in the flood account in the Bible, and you can see the water lines where maybe it receded down slowly over years or whatever the case may be. They did find whale bones in the area. Gee, I wonder how those got there. It's an amazing thing to see. I can't explain to you everything about it. You just got to come see. You got to check it out for yourself. Awesome. I've been to many different places in the States. I've been to Alaska, and I've climbed, hiked up in there. I've fished there. I've grew up in the Cascades, which is kind of a shoot off of the Rockies, the Canadian Rockies. And I mean, you got volcanoes all over the place. I hiked all over those things. The Badlands are one of my favorite places to go. It's awesome. It's amazing. But if you haven't been there, you don't know. And you just got to come see. It's a lot of fun. We also went to the Black Hills. I've been to the Black Hills before, which is on the west side of the state. And the Black Hills, I've been to Mount Rushmore, and I've done a little bit of hiking here and there in the Black Hills, just very little. I'd never done a hike like we just did. I think it was 6 miles round trip. I could be wrong on that. But we went up to the highest point, and they're in the Black Hills. And that's the highest point. It's called Black Elk Peak. It used to be called Harney Peak. And so that's the highest point from here all the way to Europe, or from that point all the way to Europe. Obviously, you go west, you'll find higher points for sure. But it's beautiful, and you can oversee, you can overlook so many different places there in South Dakota, and probably across the state line as well if you look the other direction. But it's beautiful. Now, one thing about the Black Hills that I didn't realize until this trip is the amount of corks that is along the trail. I mean, the trail literally, I am not kidding, is shining. The dirt, am I right? It's glittering. It looks like gold. The trail looks like gold. It's crazy. I picked it up and kind of sifted it, and my hands, you know, just kind of sparkling. It's not gold, but it looks like it. Now, they did find a bunch of gold in the area, and I think it's still there, but the quartz, I mean, you've got rose quartz, you've got white quartz, you've got, I looked them up, and I can't remember their names, just different colors. It's crazy how much quartz is out there. Even the missions cabin that we're staying at, just walk outside. And Joe, I mean, he's coming inside the cabin, and he's got gobs of quartz, broken up little pieces like this. Levi was helping, so was Autumn. I don't know if Chloe was too. But then a big one like this. They had one that was, you know, probably about up to my knee, just outside there on the parking lot. And I asked the guy, I said, how much is that worth? He goes, I have no idea. I looked it up, found out that some quartz is about $4 a pound, some is $10 a pound. Some is $30 a pound. This was rose quartz, which was a higher price, and this thing was huge. I'm like, nobody comes and steals it. He goes, it's all over the place. Nobody wants it. I'm like, I'll take it home. You know, we don't have it in Leavenworth. Put that thing on Facebook Marketplace. I'll even tithe off of that. Man, boom, the church will have a ton of money. No, but it was amazing, beautiful. And you're trying to picture these things in your mind, I know, but you ain't gonna know if you're not there. You gotta experience it. You gotta see it. You've gotta come and see. Sometimes you can try to explain things, but the truth is, there's nothing like coming to see it for yourself, to taste and see it, to experience it. To apply that illustration, we can talk all day. I can talk all day about how good God is, but somebody's really just going to have to come and see for themselves. They've got to experience it. I want you to consider this tonight. Come and see how great God is. And I want to put the emphasis on you. You come and see. Maybe you're like me and you know somebody in the faith. You know somebody who would be considered a man of faith or a woman of faith, a godly brother or sister in Christ. And you know that they're a person who might rise up early in the morning and pray and read their Bibles. Or when you have conversation with them, man, they just point everything to Christ. Or when there's an issue going on, they put their arm around you and they pray with you. Or you know, they, you know, the great soul winners or the great leaders or whatever the case may be. And maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's somebody who had a walk with God, a grandparent. Maybe somebody who was influential in your life, or a man or a woman of God. And they had a great walk with God. I want to emphasize what Jude emphasized. We'll look at it here later on, where he said, and ye building up yourselves, ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. In other words, that's great for them. I'm glad they are a people of faith. I'm glad my wife reads her Bible daily and prays daily. But that does not make me right with God. That does not mean I have an understanding of what the Christian life is like. I knock on doors all the time and people are saying, yeah, my wife goes to church, or my mom goes to church, or yeah, I mean, our family really kind of is religious or whatever, or they're saved and they're always trying to get me saved. That kind of, Brother Glenn and I ran into that the other day. My wife's always trying to get me saved. That doesn't mean you're going to heaven, buddy. You've got to come and taste and see for yourself. You can't ride on the coattails of somebody else and think you're living a spiritual life. This is great for teenagers to understand that just because mom and dad are faithful to church doesn't mean that, or faithful to God, doesn't mean that you are. You can't justify yourself because of somebody else. I can't say I have a walk with God because my wife does. So what's your walk like? What about you? What's your life like? Not just come and see, but come and see for yourself. Come and believe for yourself. Somebody said, God doesn't have any grandchildren. He only has children. The child of God would be somebody who put their faith and trust in Christ as their Savior. But the child of God's kid isn't necessarily saved. Doesn't have grandchildren. We got to understand that too. I think a lot of parents have made mistakes, and I'm not saying that anybody here has, but a lot of parents have made mistakes in making their kids think that everything's okay because they're saved or they're right with God or they've been serving the Lord. And you just kind of, somebody, you know, I remember a child coming up to a mom one day and saying, I don't think I'm saved. But mom said, yes, you are. I remember the day that you prayed and asked Jesus to come in your heart and save you. It's okay to bring that up and maybe point them back to that and see, was that genuine? But to just say, yes, you're saved, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. I cannot tell my wife she's saved. She cannot tell me I'm saved. That is between her and God. Amen? Are you with me? I can't tell you, babe, you're saved. And she's not going to say to me, honey, you're saved. If I came to her and said, I don't think I'm saved, she's going to say, oh, it all makes sense now. It's not enough that your parents believe in Jesus. You must be personally saved. You've got to come and see. In John 4, there was a lady who was at a well. She was going to the well to draw water. Jesus went out of his way to speak to her. He told her he could give her everlasting water that would cause her to thirst no more. Obviously, this wasn't physical water. And that lady, who had a very sinful background, she wanted to know more. I think it's wonderful that Jesus, our Savior, cared for this lady. When no one else wanted anything to do with her, Jesus cared about her. And he told her, I can give you everlasting water. I can give you everlasting life. And she trusted Christ as her Savior. And our verse in verse 28 said that she left her water pot and ran back to the city. She left behind what she came to do. She left behind. Her life has been changed. And that's what happens when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That when you meet Him, it changes everything, doesn't it? Changes everything. And if you've experienced that, then you know. But if you haven't experienced that, then you don't know. I can explain it to you, but you don't understand because you've got to come and see. You've got to come and trust Christ as your Savior yourself. She came to the city and said to the people of the city, come see a man, verse 29, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Obviously, in this context, this is emphasizing the need for salvation. And it could be that here on a Sunday night, that there might be somebody tonight who does not know for sure if they were to die today that heaven would be your home. You'd like to think you are. You know a little bit about it. You heard some things. You've seen some pictures, so to speak, of it. You got an idea, but you don't really know for sure because you've not really truly tasted. You're not really truly come to see Christ to who He is. You've not, in other words, what I'm saying is this. I want to be clear. I don't want to beat around the bush. There's not been a day where you put your faith and trust in Christ as personal Lord and Savior and you called upon Him to be your Savior. You experienced being born again. You experienced salvation. If you were to die today, you can't say for sure, yeah, heaven's my home. And I want to encourage you, make today the day of salvation. Amen, Christian? Accept Christ today. Come and see for yourself that you can have salvation. You can have peace. You can have certainty. You can have assurity. You can have what people refer to as a know-so salvation. I know I'm saved. I know. I don't have any doubts. I'm saved. If you're saved tonight, say amen. You know it. You don't think you're saved. You don't wonder if you're saved. You know it. Why do you know it? Because you know you're a sinner. You know you, because of your sin, you deserve a devil's hell. you know, Jesus died on the cross for your sins, provided a way for you to go to heaven. He took your place, your punishment. You called upon him. By grace are you saved through faith. And you put your faith and trust in him. Not in your works, not in your deeds, not in your actions, not in anything else, but in what he did on Calvary's cross. And you trust God's word, because we already talked about it. We can be certain of it. We can follow it. He's worth honoring. He's worth those things. And we know God's word is true. And it tells me, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? I did that as a six-year-old boy. I know what it's like to be saved. Well, some people believed simply because of what she told them. I love that. It tells us that they did. But it appears that some of the men of the city had to see for themselves. So they came. And they met the Lord Jesus Christ, and they trusted after they came. Some of them trusted Christ as their Savior. And they said to this lady in verse 42, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, but because we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We have seen him." In other words, which gives me a few things that we need to observe here about this. And I mentioned it a little bit in a different way, but let's put it this way. One observation is this. It's a personal thing. Right? It's a personal thing. Again, I can't walk with God because my wife does. And I can't be saved because my mom's saved. Just because she's saved doesn't make me saved. Just because she raised us up in a Christian home doesn't make me saved. I've got to come to the place where I've accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. It's a personal faith. You see, Jesus wants you to come and believe him. He wants you to come and believe him personally, because the faith that you have is not somebody else's faith. That's their personal faith. The faith that you have is yours. It's a personal faith to you. Go to John 20. Save your place in John chapter 4. Go to John 20 and look at verse 27. Thomas basically said, "I'm not going to believe unless I see him." In John 20, verse 27. Actually, look at verse 25. Thomas said in verse 20, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said," Thomas said unto them, "except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And then in verse 27, "Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless." Implying that what you said before, Thomas, was faithless. "Be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Now, I explained to you what the Badlands look like the best I can. But then I also said, I basically said it's a bunch of dirt hills. But it's amazing. And some of you heard dirt hills and didn't believe me when I said it's amazing. Some of you might believe me. Some of you might say, "Well, that's all a matter of opinion." No, I promise you, you go there, you're going to be impressed with God's creation. How could you not be impressed with what God has done? Right? So, blessed are you for believing me about the Badlands without seeing. All right? But more seriously, Jesus said, "Blessed are they that have believed without seeing." None of us have seen Christ face to face. What a day that will be. Amen. When my Jesus I shall see. It's going to be a wonderful day. I believe I'll see him. I've seen him work in my life, though. I've seen his working. I've seen evidence of Christ in my life. As I put my faith and trust in him, I've seen him do great things. And when Jesus showed up, when Thomas was there, Jesus said, touch my hands, touch my side, see that it is me. And then he told him, you believe because you've seen, but truly blessed are those who believe and yet have never seen. Look at 1 John 5, please. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. John here is saying, here's the audience of whom I'm writing to. The audience of whom I'm writing, believe it or not. Now, this is a great verse to use in as a soul winning verse. It is. I love to tell people that God wrote the Word of God for those. He wrote these sayings so that we might believe. But he tells us who he's writing to. I've written unto those who already believe. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe. I'm writing to the believers. Are you with me? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why are you writing these to believers? That ye may know, have a surety, have more confidence, have more of a foundation here, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I'm glad I know that I have eternal life, but 1 John was written to help me understand that I might know that I have eternal life. Again, like I know, but now it's a know so. Like I know, but now I really know. In other words, are you with me? That's what 1 John, this verse in context is written about 1 John. Yes, it can be applied to all of the Word of God, okay, for sure. But in context, 1 John 5:13 is written about 1 John. And I wrote these things to believers that already know me. But I wrote these things so that you might know that you know me. In other words, you might have more confidence. Or like my wife and I, we walked hiked up Crystal Mountain when we were younger, and we hiked up Crystal Mountain with a friend, John Pittman, in Washington State. It's a beautiful place. It's a ski resort. And John grew up in the mountains. John grew up in the Rocky Mountains. He's seen Pikes Peak. He was familiar with all this. He had never been to Cascades, and I'm saying, John, this is amazing. John, you've got to do this. John, you got to come and see. Let's do this hike. And we did this hike. And John had anticipation. John had expectation. John believed me. He didn't doubt me. But once we got to the top and we got over that ridge, and he was able to see Mount Rainier and Mount St. Helens and Mount Adams and Mount Hood and then off the other direction, Mount Baker. He goes, I remember his words, I knew it. But now he really knew it. Right? He was anticipating it. And then when he saw it, he's like, "Woo! This is awesome." And then you're looking down and you're like, oh, this is awesome. Right? In 1 John 5:13, believer, was written for you that you might have more confidence in what you believe. Yes, it can be used as a soul-winning verse. I use it many times. I tell them, listen, God wrote the Bible for this purpose, so that we might know about Him, so that we might believe. But really, these things were written for you, Christian, and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. In other words, you believed on Him for salvation, but just continue believing on Him for your life. Continue believing on Him for how you walk in your life. And you can trust Him for eternity, but trust Him for your everyday steps. So, would you answer this out loud? Have you been saved? Oh, wow. It didn't really sound like you believed there. We're talking about belief. Let me ask you this question. Have you been saved? Amen. You've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. If you died today, you know 100% for sure you'd go to heaven. Many would say yes. Maybe some of you could not. Be honest. If you don't know Christ, come and see. Come and see. But maybe you are saved tonight. And I want to remind us that there's more to the Christian life than salvation. Well, salvation is enough. It's more than enough. But, and thank God for the promise we sang about it, a mansion over the hilltop and looking for that day and meet me there and thank God for the promise of a home in heaven for all those who accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. But there's more to the Christian life than just believing and receiving. The woman at the well understood that right away back in our text in John chapter 4. She knew there was more that she had to do. She couldn't just keep it herself. She could have just stayed and kept talking to Jesus. But she said, hey, wait a minute, I'll be right back. She went and got more people and brought them and they listened to him. But she wanted others to come and see what she had experienced. And I can't help but think of Andrew in John chapter 1. Turn back there. We're in John 4. It's just a few pages over. John chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Why did he bring him? Because he wanted Peter to see who he was. And when Jesus held him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. I believe that when we take it personally to tell others to come and see, if you make that your life's ambition to tell others, like the Samaritan woman, come and see. Who do you know? Who do you know? Think about their name right now. Who needs to come and see? Who needs to come and know Christ? Who do you work with? Who's in your family? Who's in your neighborhood that doesn't know, that doesn't understand? And they've got to come and see for themselves. Otherwise, they'll go to hell. And I believe that when we take it personally to tell others to come and see, I believe that if they come, like if they come to Northwest Baptist Church, they're going to hear a gospel message and some will come and some will see. I believe that as you tell others about Christ, some will come and some will see. Some will say, I don't know about that. I'm not so sure. But you keep telling them and you keep telling them, some will come and see. And there's nothing greater, no greater feeling in the Christian life than having led somebody to Jesus Christ. There's nothing better, is there? It's awesome. Because Satan got defeated. The souls that were hanging in the balance accepted Christ, and they have a new home. They have a new hope. Their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They once were lost, but now they're found. They've come and they've seen Christ. And when you get others to come and see, you get to rejoice as you get to see what Christ can do in their lives, in the lives of your loved ones and friends and acquaintances. And so you get to see something that you hadn't seen before. Are you with me? You get to experience something as a Christian that you hadn't experienced before. And I can explain it to you. I can tell you about it. I can try to help you understand. There's no greater feeling than leading somebody to Christ, but you don't know if you've not done it. Right? There's no greater feeling than the Lord using you, a sinner who deserves the devil's hell yourself, for saying, and you've sinned since you've been saved, but for some reason, God wants to use you and His Word through you to tell someone about Christ, and they get saved, and all you can do is say, glory to God, hallelujah. There's no greater feeling than telling someone about Christ and seeing them get saved. It's wonderful. So come and see. Why don't you come and experience that? Come and see what God can do with you through soul winning. Come and experience the power of God as you tell others about Him. Hey, I want the power of God in my life, don't you? Right. I need it. You need God's power, right? I want the presence of God in my life, don't you? You need God's presence? Where's the power of God? And where is the presence of God found? Go to Matthew 28, please. Matthew 28. God, I need your power. God, I need your presence. God is saying, I've got it. I've got it. But you got to come. You got to come the right way to get it. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all what? Power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You want that power? Well, here's what you got to do. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And here's his presence. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Yes, I know that's in context saying God's power regarding telling others about Christ. But God's power is God's power. And when I'm faithful to telling others about Christ, I get to experience God's power, not only there, but in other areas of my life. And then I get to experience His presence. It tells me right there where His power is. It tells me where His presence is. He's with me as I serve Him. God is saying, come, see my power. Come and see my presence. So we get to experience His power as we obey His command. And we get to experience His presence as we obey His command. Indicating then, or implying, that maybe I'm not experiencing God's power or presence in my life because I'm not obeying His command or the Great Commission. I mean, are we okay? Matthew 28:19 tells us where power is. It tells us where presence is. I want that. Okay, then this is how you get it. This is where it's at. God wants you to come and see His power. God wants you to come and see His presence. Say, I'm not sure I follow you, Pastor. Exactly. That's my point in this whole message. You gotta come and see. Why don't you try it out, Christian? I'm thankful. We have a room full of people who do tell people about Jesus Christ. Amen? We have that in here. I am not up here saying, you. That is not what I'm doing. It's not what I'm doing. I'm saying, if you're not, though, come and see. Christian, come and see what it's like. Come and see what it's like. Trust God's power and His presence as you're scared to approach somebody at the marketplace, work, school, out soul winning door to door. Trust God's presence and power when He says, I'm going with you. And you get to experience a power that you don't understand unless you do it. Am I right, Christian? You get to experience a presence of God. There's a peace. There is a closeness to God that is only the result of obeying God. So I don't agree. I don't think. If you haven't tried it, you don't know. If you haven't been to the Badlands, you don't know what they look like. Can't speak with authority about something you've not seen. Right? You can't speak with authority about something you've not done. I want to encourage you. If you've done it, keep doing it. If you're doing it, keep doing it. Amen? If you're not, come and see. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. Come and see His power. Come and see His presence. Then go to Matthew 11. Come and see His rest. Matthew 11, verse 28. Read these words with me out loud, would you? Ready to begin. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He goes on to say in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Come. He says, come. When you learn of Him, you find rest. He says, learn of me. Learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Rest is nice. Amen. Oh, it's nice. How do you find rest? I need rest. Jesus said, come unto me. Come and see. Come and see. I just wish God would give me peace in my life. I just wish God would give me some, that He'd calm the storm. I wish God would just work out in these situations. Are you coming to Him? Are you coming to Him in His Word? This is where you come to Him. In His Word. This is where you know about Him. This is where you learn of Him. He said, learn of me and I'll give you rest. This is how you learn of Him. You're here on a Sunday night, praise the Lord for that. You've come to learn of Him. Keep coming.
Don't come to the place and say, I learned enough about God this week. Well, I only need church for an hour. What? Exhorting one another, and so much the what? More as you see the day approaching. Learn of it. I know you want God to give you rest. There's a way to get that rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke, my burden. Take my burden. What's his burden? Jesus came to speak and say that was the cross. What's his burden? The things of God. Take my burden upon you. You take my burden. Man, I don't want his burden. Wait a minute. He said he's got all power. And he said, lo, I'm with you always. He's got his presence. When you take his burden, when you come to him, you're in his presence. There's nothing better than being in the presence of God. Say, how do you know? You just got to experience it. You just got to come check it out. Come and see. Try him out. You'll find out that is true.
When you learn of him, you find rest. And then last, go to Hebrews 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4. This morning I preached a lot about sin. Tonight we're spending some time talking about his power, his presence, his rest. And then his mercy and his grace. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us therefore come. Come, he says. Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come and see his mercy. See, we learn of him here. But he says, come to my throne. Come in prayer. Come spend time with me. I said there's I can't explain it. There's no greater feeling than leading somebody to Christ. There's also no greater feeling than knowing that you spent time with God. You spent time in his presence. You spent time in prayer. You've unloaded on him. You've been real and honest, like we preached about not long ago in Psalm chapter 13. It's one thing to ask God questions. It's another thing to question God. But when you do, you can come to God with questions and unload. And there's no greater feeling than knowing that God's heard your prayer. Knowing that God loves you and cares for you. And he says, come boldly into the throne of grace. That's what we need, grace. Amen? And find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly, come humbly, come and see that God has mercy and grace and help in your time of need. And I know you've heard that. I know you've heard that. And I know you probably wouldn't even argue with it. But if you've not experienced it, then it's just as foreign to you as if you haven't been to the Badlands. It's just as foreign to you if you haven't walked Black Elk Trail and seen a rock. Lots of rocks on trails. You see a rock that you're stepping over, and it's not just a rock. I don't know why they call them the Black Hills. They should be the Shining Mountains, in my opinion. It's like, it's crazy. I'm just dumbfounded as I'm walking along. I'm looking at the ponderosa pines. I'm looking around. I'm looking up the peak, saying, there's the boulders up there. I can't wait to go up there and climb on those things. And all of a sudden, on just a normal trail, there's this glistening rock. What? Why hasn't somebody taken that thing? And, you know? See, you know it's true, but you've not been there. And if you've not been there, you've just not been there. And if you haven't been at the feet of Jesus and sensed that he is rest, that he has mercy, that he has grace, that he has power, you haven't sensed his presence, that he cares about your burdens, then you just don't know exactly what I'm talking about. So you've got to come and see. Don't try Jesus, trust Jesus. I hate that bumper sticker, try Jesus. Don't try him like you're trying something out, seeing if it works. Trust him. He's not finished with you. He wants to fill your life spiritually. He wants to help you walk by faith. He wants to help you honor him. He wants to help you follow him. I do wish I could accomplish certain things without trying. We drove back from the Black Hills. It was about an 11-hour drive, and we decided, you know what? We're going to have to take another day and just get into a hotel in Sioux Falls and come back Friday. Our intention was to come back Thursday, but I mean, it was just a long ways. Sometimes we've done trips like that, and it wasn't so hard. That day would have just been hard. And so we just decided to stop in Sioux Falls and take another day. I would have loved to have, and I'm never going to get this brave. I don't care how advanced technology gets. If all the cars have driverless vehicle options, I'm never going to use that option. I just won't. I'm sorry. I can't trust that. But I like the idea of it. Just push a button, lay back, you know, go to sleep. I like the idea, but no. I wish I could get somewhere without trying. I'd love for my wife to drive, but I get car sick when somebody else drives for a long time. I'm okay around town, stuff like that. But if we go on a long trip, I'm car sick. I can't handle it. And then she's a great driver. She is. I don't know of one time she's been in an accident, and I can tell you a good number of times I have. But I'm a great driver. Doesn't make sense, I know. But I am. I'm a great driver. Most of those were not my fault, by the way. Any other driver would have been dead. I just had great evasive maneuvers and was able to survive those death-defying accidents. That's really what it comes down to. She would have been dead if she was in those situations. But I can't let her drive, so I'm going to do most of the driving. And I just wish I could just push a button and, you know, it happens. What about working out, right? Don't you just wish you could look at, you know, some powerlifting magazine and just happens? Take a supplement that actually works. You know, they make so much money off of those things, it's ridiculous. Take a supplement that actually works and boom, take care of it right there. Not everybody's gifted like I am, just born with a great body, but I mean, or how about somebody else working out for you and you get buff because of it? That'd be great. My wife works out all the time and I just want to vicariously, you know, see the results of that in myself. Or what about the piano? How many just wish you could sit down and just play the piano amazingly? I do. I wish I could just boop, right there. But it's going to take work and it's going to take effort and it's going to take time. See, things don't work that way, do they? If I want to get somewhere, I've got to do it myself. I got to follow the directions. I've got to take the effort to follow. If I want to be good at the piano, I've got to do those things. It's going to take time and effort. And if I want to be physically fit, then I have to exercise. And if I want to be spiritually fit, if I want to honor God, if I want to experience those things that I've been talking about, I've got to put in the effort and energy to make sure that it happens. Listen, I'm telling you, come and see the Badlands. Come and see the Black Hills and check it out. But you're never going to understand if you're not there. And you're never going to understand a victorious Christian life if you don't do what God says you must do in order to have that. You've got to come and see yourself. Spend time with him. Read his word. Come to him. Pray. Trust. Go to Jude 20. There's one chapter in Jude. So if you're looking for Jude chapter 20, you're not going to find it. Jude verse 20. Would you read this out loud with me? I quoted it earlier, but now that we're looking at it, would you read it out loud with me? Jude, verse 20, ready to begin. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to keep reading. Keep yourselves in the love of God, So he says, build up yourselves. In verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This truth is so good. I feel like every time I try to explain it, I fail. I feel like any Christian maybe feels inadequate to explain it. The more mature the Christian, by the way, the more we feel like we fall short in explaining it. The more experience, the more you experience Christ, the more you want to explain Christ, but you just can't get it out the right way. And we can try our best to explain the Black Hills and the Badlands or whatever. And the more I try, the more I just want to say, come and see for yourself. Come and taste for yourself. You've just got to come and believe if you don't know Christ as your Savior. If you do, you've just got to understand. These things were written so that you might have more confidence, more surety, more faith. Come and see. And if there's an area that I talked about or some other area in the Christian life or Christian living or Christian responsibility that Christ would expect of us as Christians and you've not experienced it yourself, you have doubts, you have arguments. They might even be logical arguments. You have questions and you might even say, I just don't know about that. Or maybe you tried it once and just didn't work out. You know, the Badlands wouldn't be a whole lot of fun on a rainy day. I've never been there on a rainy day. I can't imagine. They don't have much rain out there. That's why it's a lot of dirt. But if they did, I have a feeling it'd just be a bunch of mud. Muck. Maybe you tried some things out in the Christian life that just didn't go well that day. Try again. Come and see. Why don't you come to God tonight and see for yourself what He can do in your life? Every head bowed, every eye closed at this time. Our God in heaven, Lord, I don't know how you'll work in the invitation time. I don't want to force anybody. I don't want to cause emotional response. I just know when your word is presented, we have to respond to your word. It's clear in James that when we see your word, we've got to be doers of it. And we've got to make commitments and make life changes so that we can be doers of it. So Lord, I pray you'd help us to respond how you'd have us to tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.